Welcome to another episode of the Colorado BQA Chat podcast. My name is Libby Bigler, and I'm the Colorado Beef Quality Assurance State Coordinator. I will also be your host for today's podcast episode. I hope you've had an opportunity to listen to some of our first episodes, whether that be cattle handling with Dr. Temple Grandin or biosecurity with NCBA's Dr. Julie Herman. We're excited to use this platform as a way to help listeners engage with the BQA program, even in times when we are restricted in terms of our ability to gather. We hope this podcast will help you apply BQA on your operation with advice and insight from folks in the beef industry who are at the leading edge of beef quality assurance. The Colorado BQA Chat podcast is brought to you by Colorado Beef Quality Assurance and is funded by the Colorado Beef Council and Colorado State University's Department of Animal Sciences. As always, if you're interested in becoming BQA or BQA transportation certified, please give me a call at 970-491-BEEF or you can log on to bqa.org. With that, I'm really excited for today's guest, Dr. Christine Navarre. I invited Dr. Christine Navarre to talk to us a little bit more about some things regarding management and planning when it comes to disasters. You know, 2020 has been a pretty disastrous year, I guess you'd say, for cattle producers throughout the country, specifically here in Colorado, where we've had a lot of droughts and wildfires, but also in Louisiana, where Dr. Christine Navarre is from, with some of the opposite issues. They've had multiple hurricanes this fall. I wanna introduce Dr. Christine Navarre with a little bit of a biography first, and then we'll get rolling in the interview. Dr. Navarre is the extension veterinarian for Louisiana State University's Ag Center, and is also a professor of animal sciences at LSU, but she also serves as a counterpart to me in Louisiana. She's the BQA state coordinator there in her state. Dr. Navarre was in private practice in Texas following graduation from veterinary school at LSU. She earned a master's and completed her veterinary residency at Texas A&M University, and then joined the food animal section at Auburn University's College of Veterinary Medicine Teaching Hospital in 1994, where she spent 11 years providing clinical service and teaching of food animal and camelid medicine and surgery. In 2005, she was able to return to LSU as the extension veterinarian, and since that time, she's become an expert in disaster planning and response. So she's a great guest today to have to talk to us about some of those things that we need to think about when it comes to planning and responding to disasters that we have in the cattle industry. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Navarre to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Libby. Back in 2005, I had been in clinical practice in a number of venues for about 15 years, and I took the job here at LSU to become the extension veterinarian. And so in July of 2005, we packed up the family, packed up the cows, and moved from Alabama back to Louisiana, where we're both from, so we were really excited. And then in August, late August of 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit, and I actually started my new job as extension veterinarian on September 1, which was just a few days after Katrina hit. And so it was really, I was, you know, thrown into the fire because disaster response was not part of my job description, and all of a sudden it was a major part of what I was doing. It was a huge learning curve, and 3 weeks later, Hurricane Rita hit, and it hit in an area that is in the southwest part of the state that is all agriculture. So again, that was kind of trial by fire, and over the next, you know, several years, and even through this year, we've had a record hurricane season. We've had four major ones actually hit Louisiana this year, and so that's kind of how I got into it, and it unfortunately continues, and you know, not something I ever thought I'd have a lot of experience in, but it is what it is.
Do you find this is off the cuff? Do you find that hurricanes tend to hit you in Louisiana multiples in certain years? You'll go, you know, a year like this year where you've had four, and then another year where you have, you know, just a couple or maybe none?
Yeah, absolutely. It does kind of seem to come in spurts. And, you know, this, it was a record year for a lot of reasons. I mean, this last one, there's still one out in the Gulf that doesn't know where it wants to go. And that's just really unheard of this late in the year. So yeah, we do get some breathers. You know, we do have other disasters. We have drought. I was involved a little bit with the oil spill that we had the BP oil spill, mm-hmm. because we were really worried when that hit. It was actually hurricane season, and the biggest fear was that we were going to have a hurricane push all of that oil inland, and you know, the coast is prime you know, cattle country, and we had, you know, calves on the ground. And so trying to figure out what was going to happen and whether or not people were going to need to evacuate, and what happens to those pastures if oil gets on them, you know, are they contaminated? So it's not always hurricanes. So, you know, we'll talk about how being prepared for one disaster really kind of prepares you for anything.
Sure. That's really why I wanted to have you on our podcast today. I know you have a lot of different types of disasters maybe than we do here in Colorado. You focus mostly on hurricanes, likely. I mean, you have other situations that would be considered as a disaster, but here in Colorado this year, we have had some record-breaking droughts and some pretty severe wildfires. Just for example, we've had 3 wildfires this year that each one of them has gotten to a level, it has burned enough acreage to be considered the record wildfire this year. Wow. So 3 in 1 year. And so I know a lot of our producers are affected by wildfires, whether they run cattle up in those national forests on forest permits or something like that. But a majority of our state right now has really been hit hard by a pretty severe drought. And so I figured I'd have you on, as you've become kind of an expert in this area, to talk a little bit about disaster management in general. But I thought I'd ask you real quick, can you talk a little bit about how some of the planning and management and aftermath of disasters really overlap? It doesn't matter whether it's a disaster with wind and water or if it's the opposite of that, where it's, you know, no water and fires, how those disaster situations and strategies for those disaster situations really can overlap, and some of those things to think about?
Yeah, so the principles are really all the same, and they can be applied to any disaster. And the main thing that I see is that people just, you know, they put it off. I mean, we all do that, right? You're dealing with everyday things, and you're hoping that those disasters never happen, but eventually we're all going to deal with one type or another. And no plan is ever going to be perfect. I mean, every hurricane that hits, we learn things and we tweak things, and they all have their own little differences. But, you know, any plan is better than no plan. And it's also important that you communicate that plan with the people that work for you and your family members, working together to create those plans. So, you know, your producers who have been through the fires can help other producers who might have a fire danger at any time, but haven't been through it yet. And then getting people together from a community standpoint. So I think planning at the ranch level and then planning at the community level is really important, because you need to know, you know, who has what resources and who's available for what, and who's going to need help and who can provide things, and just making those contacts ahead of time can be really, really critical when things, you know, kind of go haywire.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. And that's something maybe I haven't thought about, is how do you engage the community, especially if we're thinking about beef producers, kind of our ranching communities? How do we think about emergency management from a community level, whether that's a local community, or even if it's maybe like a county cattlemen's association or something like that, if they're all on the same page in terms of, here's what our plan is if we have a certain type of disaster hit us? I think that's really useful information that I really hadn't thought about before, and something maybe people can implement. So with that, I was thinking, I would ask you if maybe we could get into some of those really practical matters that producers should consider in terms of having a plan for a disaster. I know right now we're kind of, I would say we're in the middle of a disaster situation. Most of our fires are about to be under control, but we're still in pretty severe drought, and the outlook isn't great. But I still think it's important for us to have some of that information. So from your perspective or some of your learnings, what kind of things should we include maybe in a disaster kit or in an emergency management plan?
Yeah, some of the things that we've seen that have really helped producers weather some of these, you know, storms or other disasters. One is actually low stress cattle handling. You know, when you have to move cattle and it's a very stressful situation and it has to be done in a timely manner, you know, we've seen that those herds that have instituted low stress cattle handling techniques have a much easier time of getting help to those animals or moving those animals, you know, appropriately and getting them out of danger. So that's something that we really need to think about. You know, herd health, having a really good herd health, solid herd health plan, because anytime we go through any of these disasters, you know, and a drought is a perfect example of that. You know, if you've got healthy cattle going into a drought, they're going to weather that stress much better than cattle that are already maybe on the edge. Animal ID. So we've seen a lot of rustling situations in the middle of a aftermath when things are kind of chaotic. And so, you know, we've discovered that pretty much anything but a brand, you know, can be cut out. And so even though we're not a brand state, in certain areas, we do recommend branding in some cases. Again, communications and getting to know those players, the first couple of days are always really kind of chaos and people are really frustrated because there's not a lot of ways to communicate. You'll see like one producer's calling everybody they know and you have five different people working to get hay, for instance, whereas you hate to, you know, duplicate those efforts, but that's kind of the way it goes in the first couple of days and then things settle down. Obviously planning for feed and water, thinking about different types of disasters if you're going to evacuate or if you're going to shelter in place, and some of that may be, you know, part of your herd may evacuate and the rest may shelter in place. And then from a specific things to have on hand, there's a lot of resources out there, and you know, this is just, you know, some things that have come to mind, but there's lots of lists out there that you can get, and I have a lot of resources I'm happy to share. But you know, making sure that you have all the important phone numbers written down and copies of that everywhere, making sure you have cattle inventory list, maps of the operation. You know, we store everything in the cloud these days and we rely so heavily on the web and the internet, but in a lot of cases that is down when you have no power. And so making sure you have hard copies of things that you might need. Again, maps of the operation, feed and water, fencing supplies, temporary shade, you know, when you see a fire go through and damage shade, hurricanes blow them down, you know, shade and if it's a, you know, blizzard type event, some type of shelters is really important to think about. Cash. So, you know, again, we rely so much on credit cards these days, but when there's widespread power outages, you may not be able to use the credit card, machines are down. And so we've seen in the 2016 flood, AT&T's substation flooded. So there was no cell phones. Mm-hmm. If you had AT&T in the area, cell towers can go down. Again, there's no power. So having an emergency cash fund so you can buy certain things, you can buy fuel, things that you might need. Obviously emergency medical supplies, your veterinarian can help you get those things together, first aid kit for people. And then euthanasia supplies. Euthanasia is a huge issue, particularly with wildfires. It seems, you know, that you just get, you know, cattle that there's nothing you can do for them and there's a lot of them, and being able to appropriately euthanize those animals is not something anybody wants to think about, but it's one of the things that comes up time and time again is we wish we were better prepared. And a lot of that is having enough ammo or at least a source of ammo, having your people trained, those sorts of things.
A couple of points that you made that I think are really important for our producers who are listening to this podcast right now, especially because they're listening to this because it's about BQA. The first one you talked about is low stress cattle handling. And so by attending a BQA training, you do get a level of training or at least understanding in stockmanship and low stress cattle handling. And so I really think that BQA can assist in this disaster planning as well. You also talk heavily about some sort of like emergency action plan and kind of a list, having a list of people, important people, your veterinarian, people who can, you know, help supply feed, all of those kind of things. And that's involved in a BQA program as well. And then lastly, you just mentioned that euthanasia component. Euthanasia is a big topic that we cover in beef quality assurance as well. So, you know, folks, we don't really like to talk about euthanasia, but that does become a really important thing for us to understand and be confident and comfortable with providing to cattle that, you know, are in a terminal situation, whether that's from a natural disaster or if it's just part of production. You know, if they are compromised in another way or they have a terminal condition, we have to be comfortable and confident in providing timely humane euthanasia methods. And so that does become an important component in BQA. Christine is a fellow BQA state coordinator. Can you talk a little bit about that as well? What kind of components we talk about in euthanasia training, what we should think about if we do encounter a situation like that?
Yeah, so, you know, making sure that the people that you identify the right people and that those people are trained properly. And, you know, it's one thing when you've got, you know, one animal to deal with, but when you have multiple animals, and particularly if they're in a range situation, and I don't have any experience with this personally, but speaking to some veterinarians who've had to do, you know, what I would call mass euthanasia of several animals, you know, in a range situation after a fire, you know, things that they didn't think about, like if you're, you know, trying to look through a scope and, you know, target an animal, how do you see around you? And, you know, making sure that if you're using a rifle from a distance that, you know, you protect people in the area. And then again, having enough ammo when it's a lot of animals. And so just thinking about those things, it's also one of the things that I think, you know, is really, really taxing on mental health. Absolutely. None of us even want to think about that. We're not in this business because we want to euthanize animals, but we know it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think thinking about, you know, who those people are going to be that you're going to, you know, put in that situation to have to handle that mental stress is really important.
Sure. And really depending on the situation, what the disaster looks like, I think at times law enforcement does end up becoming involved. And Christine, you and I have sat through a training called Bovine Emergency Response Program, where we help first responders and law enforcement take care of maybe over the road accidents involving cattle where euthanasia is required. And I think that's one of the areas that we as BQA professionals could target a little bit better, so that we have other folks out there as first responders who know how to handle a humane euthanasia situation. Because I know there are times where first responders don't really know how to handle cattle, and in trying to do their best to calm a situation, they may do something that is counter effective for cattle. And euthanasia is one of those things that we've worked pretty hard to work with some first responders around the country and state to, you know, let them know, here's kind of the area where you euthanize, the types of firearms that are acceptable to euthanize animals, the fact that a single shot euthanasia is preferred and humane, and even training on kind of those signs of death to make sure that a second shot is applied if necessary. So I think that's one of the areas that sometimes maybe gets overlooked, is that you assume that first responders can help with a wide variety of situations, and they certainly can, but there is specific special training that we hope to give to them when it comes to livestock and cattle production specifically.
Yeah, I think when, you know, we have a lot of our parish cattlemen's groups that get together, and they kind of, you know, we talked about planning as a community, and they kind of take the lead on that, and having first responders in there, because there are always issues with, you know, who gets to come into an area. People always come first. But if you have first responders in that planning, they bring a lot to the table, and then they also want to understand. And one of the, I think, untapped resources, at least for us, has been wildlife and fisheries. I mean, you know, this is kind of what they deal with, not on a mass basis, but, you know, they're used to dealing with, you know, targeting animals from a distance and dealing with firearms in multiple situations. You know, for us, sometimes having to do euthanasia from a boat is, you know, not something you think about doing and want to do. And so I agree totally. I think we need to make sure that we fold as many people into the planning as possible and do those trainings together so that we learn from each other.
Absolutely. So I think it's important that we also go back and cover a little bit more on the mental health situation surrounding managing and responding to disasters. You know, how do you think something like a wildfire or drought or a really devastating hurricane can impact a farmer or rancher's mental health from an overall perspective? I know we talked a lot about euthanasia, but I think in general, the disaster itself can be very taxing on mental health as well.
Yeah, it takes a huge toll. And you know, in the short term, you know, you're running on adrenaline. There's, in these big disasters, there's a lot of publicity. There's a lot of outpouring of help. And, you know, people kind of rally around each other. But we know that that all fades. And then our ranchers are left with, you know, this long-term recovery in most cases, and it's when everything really dies down and you've got this outlook of, you know, it's going to take me sometimes years to get back to where I was. That's when we really have to, you know, pay attention and where it really gets tough. And, you know, I think that we've got this culture of do it yourself, you know, don't ask for help, don't complain. Mm-hmm. We were all, you know, those of us who grew up on a farm, you know, that's kind of how we were raised. But we got to realize that, you know, sometimes we do need help, and we have to get over that stigma and reach out if we need help. And then also, it's an uncomfortable, you know, conversation sometimes, but if you suspect that somebody's struggling, you know, reach out to them and ask them. You know, it's an uncomfortable conversation sometimes, but, you know, you might actually, you know, save a life. It's tough to get, you know, our rural communities, it's tough to get mental health services. And in a lot of cases, people from, you know, they may bring in somebody from an urban area, or you try to get on a, you know, a video chat with a mental health professional that's not from a rural area, and they don't necessarily understand that the stresses. And so even when you reach out for help, it can be difficult, but I just want to urge everybody that, you know, if you're going through this, or you see somebody going through this, you're not alone. You know, there's a lot of people going through it, and there's a lot of help out there.
Do you know of any specific resources that those of us in agriculture or rural communities might be able to look towards if there are mental health issues that we need to address?
Yeah, so there's different trainings. You know, veterinarians in particular, we're getting a lot of training because of the suicide, high suicide rate in the veterinary profession. Dr. Dan Thompson, who's at Iowa State now, he was at Kansas State for years. Y'all probably know him from Doc Talk on RFD TV. We co-edited a book on disaster preparedness for cattle veterinarians, and one of the chapters in that book is on mental health issues, and it gives in there some just basic steps that any of us can do. We're not mental health experts, but there's some things that we can do to at least, you know, take care of a situation temporarily until we can get somebody some help. And this chapter was actually written by a couple of people that really have a background in mental health for agricultural workers.
What is the title of that book? Is that something that any producer can get, or is it specifically targeted just for veterinarians?
It's targeted for veterinarians, but anybody can purchase that or can have access. You know, your veterinarian can try to find it, or you can find it online. It's called Disaster Response for Beef Cattle Operations, and it's a veterinary clinic's food animal practice.
Sure. And I think there are resources throughout the countryside. I think a lot of our cooperative extension services have similar resources for cattle producers or livestock producers in general when it comes to mental health. And so you know, if all else fails, contacting your local county extension office or something similar to that would really help point you in the right direction if you need some mental health resources. So Dr. Navarre, I think you've provided a really good breadth of things to think about when we're considering, you know, steps to take when planning for or responding to disaster situations. But the point of the podcast today is really all about beef quality assurance. And so I really want to tie it back together and get your perspective on how all of this disaster management and planning and response really relates back to beef quality assurance.
Yeah, so, you know, disaster planning is a HACCP, a hazard analysis critical control point, plan, which is exactly what BQA is. And, you know, BQA, a lot of it is focusing on the day-to-day and the things that can go wrong and how we prevent those and how we, you know, step up and take things to the next level. Again, you know, stockmanship, nutrition, herd health, biosecurity, all of those things that are really important on a day-to-day basis also make disasters go better. So you do need a disaster plan, but part of that plan is being BQA certified, following BQA principles, because all of those are going to make you more sensitive to issues. They're going to make you more prepared. You're going to have a healthier herd, a herd that's more prepared. You're going to have, you know, contacts in the community. All of that really plays in. So yes, the disaster planning is part of BQA, but really BQA is all about disaster planning.
Sure. And I think when you think back to the mission of the BQA program, I feel like every time I do a podcast, I relate it back to the mission, maximizing consumer confidence in beef by focusing on daily production practices. That consumer confidence piece is really important because when you do have a disaster, the media picks up on it. And when beef producers are front and center of that disaster, because it is an animal welfare concern, consumers, potential consumers, really see those effects on our cattle and our livestock. And so I think if we are being responsible in how we're managing those disasters, ultimately it's not only going to be better for producers themselves, but also it's going to put a better image on our industry and how we respond to a disaster in a responsible and ethical manner.
Yes, absolutely. The media is always going to be out there in force after these, and you know, doing the right thing for these cattle is what we need, you know, them to concentrate on.
Well, Dr. Navarre, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you being a guest on the podcast. You're our first out-of-state guest, and I think it really helps paint a picture to our listeners, at least here in Colorado specifically, that BQA really is a nationwide program. Dr. Navarre is focusing on BQA in Louisiana, and we have counterparts all across the country that are providing BQA trainings for producers throughout the United States. And so it's really a program that hits all different production segments all across the country and is a benefit to all producers. So thank you so much for joining me. And I think you provided some excellent topics for our Colorado producers to think about when it comes to disaster management and disaster planning. We appreciate having you on.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
So that's a wrap on this episode of the Colorado BQA Chat podcast. Thank you to all the listeners who've tuned in and continue to support the BQA program in Colorado. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue to gain insight from beef industry experts like today's guest on other BQA topics that are important to you. We'd like to thank the Colorado Beef Council and Colorado State University's Department of Animal Sciences for sponsoring the Colorado BQA Chat podcast and Colorado's BQA program. Beef Quality Assurance is a nationally coordinated, state-implemented producer education and certification program that works to build consumer confidence in beef by focusing the producer's attention to daily production practices that influence the safety, wholesomeness, and quality of beef and beef products. Remember, you can earn your BQA certification for free at any time at www.bqa.org. For in-person certification options, please contact me at the Colorado BQA office, 970-491-BEEF. Thank you, and we look forward to having you join us next time.